Welcome back to Hour 3 of the Cook and Joe Show. Starkey is off today. I'm Ron Cook talking sports with you all the way up until 2 o'clock. And I was going through Twitter yesterday, and I see this tweet that comes out. A guy goes, "My best memories are in baseball or happened at the World Series." And I figured this is a guy I got to get on. And then, of course, it turns out it's the mayor, Sean Casey. He comes to us on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. Sean, it's always a pleasure, man. How are you?
Cookie, what's up, brother? How's everything going, man?
Well, it's going okay. How's your life in these COVID-19 times?
It's crazy. I mean, it's been crazy just like probably for all of us. I'm up here in Jersey right now in the MLB Network studios, and it's still, pretty serious too, as far as just all the stuff we're doing, wearing masks and at work, and it feels like you gotta have so many different layers just to get into work. So it's just I'm just glad baseball's here, the World Series. I'm glad those guys figured out how to get through the 60 games, and we have playoff baseball and something that we can really enjoy as a country. And these playoffs have been a lot of fun to watch.
Case, I never thought they were going to get there when the Miami had its outbreak and then the Cardinals, and you kept wondering, are they going to have to shut it down? And, man, the postseason has just been, knock on wood, still got a couple more games to go, but knock on wood, it's been tremendous, hasn't it?
It really has. I felt the same way, Cookie. Like, I think it was so – nobody knew, what was going to happen. The Marlins have that whole thing, and then the Cardinals do too. But they figured out how to get to the 60 games, and I think the bubble of the playoffs out in San Diego and Texas, has helped. It seems like these guys are they want to be out there. They're playing hard. The intensity's there. The energy's high. You could tell the adrenaline's there. So having these game sevens has been great. Two game sevens in the NLCS and the ALCS. The two number one seeds come out of there into the World Series. There's a lot of star power in the World Series, especially on the Dodgers side. The Rays have done it the way like the Pirates and any low smaller market teams is trying to build their team. They would look at the Rays and say, how did they do it through the trades and all that stuff? Well, matter of fact, they have a lot of the Pirates' best players on that team, so that's not good for the Bucco fans. But it's great to see these two teams there. It's really going to be a great World Series as we're 1-1 already.
And Sean, no fans, well, limited fans. I mean, and yet the players, once the game starts, do you forget about the fans in the stands? Do you notice them? Do you think these guys notice the stands being pretty much empty?
Well, I think, Cookie, there's something about the fans. I know I'm hearing from players that even having, I think there's 12,000 fans or 11,000 fans there right now at the World Series and in the NLCS. And I heard it makes a difference for the guys. But at the end of the day, I was saying this before, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's American Legion and your grandparents are in the stands or your girlfriend or whatever, and there's seven people there. Like, when you get in the batter's box and that guy's on the mound, like, it's time to get it on. Like, and at the end of the day, guys are in the big leagues because of the ultimate competitors. And I think when you cross those white lines, you're in for an unbelievable, fight there. And I think these players have done an unbelievable job of really being professionals and going out and really, really embracing that competition and giving the product on the field to show off their skills. I think it's been unbelievable with having no fans out there the way these guys have competed.
We're talking to Sean Casey here on the Cook and Joe Show. Okay, Sean, you played in one World Series, right?
Yeah.
2006 with Detroit. You had a hell of a World Series. I think you hit 529, 9 of 17, 2 home runs, and 5 RBIs. Unfortunately, your team didn't have a hell of a World Series. St. Louis took you down in 5. You said you had some great memories. What stands out about your one World Series?
Oh, my gosh, Cookie. I mean, there's so much stands out. I was just telling someone the other day, the first real memory I had of the World Series is when we, when they announced you to start the game. And I remember, like, we're in Detroit. Detroit is just rocking. I mean, it's Detroit Tiger mania. There's orange towels everywhere. And I remember when they announced me to come out, I was hitting 7th, I think, to start game 1. I'd just come back from a calf injury from the series before. And the chills that I got through my body was like something I'd never experienced. And it was just that was my first unbelievable memory of the World Series. And then probably, you know, I have so many different ones, but in Game 4, we're in St. Louis, and I think it was my second at bat. I'm facing Jeff Stupon, and he throws me a 1-1 cutter down and in, and I end up homering to right field. And I remember when I hit it, I remember like I was running to first, and I was like, I think that's going to be gone. You know what I mean? And the ball went out into the bullpen, and it was a home run. And I remember rounding first base, and the thoughts that went through my head were, man, like you dream as a kid, especially those years in Pittsburgh, my backyard, in the upper St. Clair, growing up there with my buddies. And you think about, you know, you're always in the backyard saying, oh, Sean Casey, homers in the World Series. You know, you're like, you know, and you're running around the bases. And like when that ball went out, you know, the dream of getting to the big leagues was my ultimate dream. But it was like a dream within the dream, Cookie. Like I remember rounding first base in St. Louis when I had homered and thinking, I must be dreaming. Like, I can't believe my life is where it's at. And I'm at the World Series here hitting home runs. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I am the most blessed human being alive.
Now, you bring up Jeff Stupon. Did you own him or not? Correct me if I'm wrong. You hit the last home run at the old Milwaukee Stadium and the first home run at the new Milwaukee Stadium. Were they both off of Stupon?
No, it was off. I think it was off Jeff DiMicco. Remember Big Jeff DiMicco?
DiMicco, okay. I was thinking Stupon.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think I hit a line drop off DiMicco to open up Miller Park, and I'm pretty sure I homered off him on a curveball to close Milwaukee County Stadium. So, really cool. Yeah. So Stupon, I had faced a few times, but Jeff DiMicco is the guy that I got the hits off in Milwaukee.
That I got my Jeffs mixed up then, and then of course. You hit the first home run at PNC Park, which is a thrill, too, unto itself, right?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me, man? Like, hitting that first home run at PNC Park, there's not, you know, when I'm going downtown still, wherever I'm going, whatever, for whatever reason, like, when I pass PNC Park, I always, well, if the kids are in the car, I always say, hey, don't forget, your dad hit the first hit in the home run at that park right there, kid. I know you don't even freaking know I was a player, but I'm just letting you know, dad was a pretty good player back in the day, you know, so I let the kids know, but when I go past their Cookie, like, you know, just the love that I have for the city of Pittsburgh and, you know, my family, my life in Pittsburgh, to drive by PNC Park and know that I had the first hit and home run there still is like so cool. It doesn't get old for me. It's just such a cool thing.
Well, you know, John Wehner hit the last one at Three Rivers, and he said, you don't count from you're from Upper St. Clair. He's from Carrick. He said, Upper St. Clair isn't part of Pittsburgh. That's what he says.
That's a typical Wehner comment there. You know what I mean? He's obviously thinking he's more big time than the people in St. Clair because he's from Carrick. So, you know what I mean? I have to totally disagree with Wehner right there.
Well, I tell you, it's one of the great story trivia answers of all time. A local kid, the last home run at Three Rivers, and the first one at PNC Park. Wehner at Three Rivers, and you at PNC. What a memory! What a story, Sean. Let's go back to that series for a little bit. You played for Jim Leland in that. He's going against Tony La Russa. They're great friends. And what was Leland like during that series? And as you were slowly going down, 4-1.
Wow, man, I tell you what, I saw Leland in so many different facets, throughout the season and those 2 years. I mean, I'm so grateful to have played for Jim, you know, in those years in Detroit. You know, if Jim Leland doesn't get in the Hall of Fame, I mean, Cooperstown, I hope that people realize, you know, that, you know, there's only been one Jim Leland in the game of baseball, and that he needs to be in Cooperstown. You know, he's a Hall of Fame manager, and I got a chance to experience it firsthand, you know, when I was playing for him. But, you know, Leland was the best because he was a great communicator, and he gave some of the greatest, like, speeches the ALDS when we played the Yankees, probably gave the greatest speech I've ever heard. And then against the A's too. And then, you know, just getting us ready for the World Series. But, you know, he was great. He was ready. He was prepared. He made you feel like, hey, listen, you've got to be able to go out. You've got to get rid of the distractions. You've got to go out, play good, solid baseball, and really enjoy it. Skip was big on, let's have some fun. Let's compete. Let's show up. Let's get after it. But let's have some fun doing it. And I remember after we lost, I think it was game, we were tied 1-1 after Detroit. We went to St. Louis. We lost two games in a row. So we were down 3-1. We're in the clubhouse. It's dreary. Everyone's kind of depressed. And he comes in. He's like, turn the music on. Turn the music up. He goes, we're not going to sit here and hang our heads. We still got life. He goes, and you guys are too good of a ball club, and there's too many good guys in here. Turn the music up, and let's make sure we're staying what we're doing and get ready to play for game five. And, like, just that for me, that was Jim Leland in a nutshell. You know, just how great of a communicator he was.
Well, you know what I think. I'm the best manager I've ever been around. But you got me curious now. You said the Yankee speech was one of the best of all time. What did he say? And you got, I know you got to give it a sanitized version here for my radio audience.
Yeah, I'll definitely give it a sanitized version. You know, it wasn't a sanitized version. I think the greatest thing was that we were coming in those last three games. You know, we had the division one, and we needed one game to win the division, and we just couldn't clinch it. It was unbelievable. We lost three games in a row to the Royals. The Twins ended up winning three, so they won the division, and we won the wild card on the last day. So we went into the World, we went into that first series, and we had to play the Yankees, who were like, Dave, you know, it was like every position had an all-star. They were loaded. They were absolutely loaded. And, like, we were given no chance to beat them, and we were just kind of backing our way into the playoffs because we scuffled at the end and all that. And I remember he kicks the media out. We have a workout day. Kicks the media out at the end, and he's like, bring your chairs around, man. So we got all these chairs. We're sitting around this table, and he just goes into this speech. And obviously, I can't say it all, because, you know, some of the stuff stays in the clubhouse. But his point was this, that, like, hey, guys, I get it. I see it. He goes, this is the best team I've ever managed. Like he's like, the heart in here, the soul that you guys have played with. He goes, I love you guys. And he started getting emotional. That's why I think everyone started kind of getting emotional. And then he just went through, and he was like, listen, he goes, I respect those men over there, the Pinstripes. How can you not respect, you know, what they've done, the championships and all that stuff, all the all-stars they have at all the places. I know the media is not giving us any hope. They're not giving us any chance. He goes, but I'll be damned if we're going to fear anybody. We can respect those guys over there, but we're not going to fear anybody. We're going to win this series, and we're going to come out game one, and we're going to punch somebody in the mouth. And I get the chills saying it right now. And it was like the mood of us backing into the playoffs all of a sudden turned to Leland started talking. We felt like, man, we are the baddest dudes in this playoff series. Like, and we got the greatest leader standing us right in front of us. And he just made us feel like we were going to win that series. We lost game one, but we won three games right after that and knocked the Yankees out of the series. And I still remember the game Randy Johnson pitched. I think it was either game three or game four in New York, and we were doing our hitters meeting, and we're in there talking about, you know, this guy likes to throw this, and we're going through the bullpen, and Leland came into the meeting, which he usually doesn't. Usually it's just a Donnie Slott and McClendon are running the meeting, and Leland comes in. He's like, men, he's like, we're not facing the Randy Johnson from Arizona. This guy's totally different. We got to attack. When he throws that heater, let's jump on him. Let's jump on him early. Let's get to that bullpen and get out of the game. And it was exactly what happened. We got to Randy early. We attacked them. We attacked early in the count, and we end up knocking them out, I think, in the sixth inning. It turned out to be one of the coolest moments of my career. I'm facing Johnson in the sixth. I think there's two guys on. I double in the gap, and it ends up, you know, two-run score. And, Cookie, I'm on second base, and it was the first time I think I felt like Michael Jordan, because you remember back when Mike Jordan would come out, they would have, you know, that song that they come out to. And I think they played that on the Jumbotron, and I looked out in the crowd, and there's just 55,000 orange towels waving, and I'm just like, oh my God, like, this is unbelievable. Like, I just created this whole pandemonium, and Randy Johnson, Joe Torre took Randy Johnson out of the game, and everything that Leland said just came true, and it was just, I'll never forget that speech he gave to us, you know, before that game.
What a great story. He's just unbelievable. What a career you had. And as you said, you know, you played with the Pirates for a while. Tough season this year for them, Case. And I know you know Derek Shelton. You're both Pearl Jam fans. I told him your story about the big head in Italy. He loved that. He got a kick out of it. He had a tough year. They had a tough year. I mean, give me some reason to be hopeful going forward, Case.
Well, you know, I think some of the reason to feel hopeful going forward is Derek Shelton. I mean, Derek Shelton, to me, is going to be one of the best managers in the game. And I love Ben Cherington, too. I was with Ben in Boston. You know, just the way they could – how smart Ben is, you know, the guys that he's been around. You know, he put together a championship team out there in Boston. You know, at the end of the day, you got to have the horses. And, you know, I think you maybe have to think outside the box. You know, when you look back, and I think when you look at Tampa that's in the World Series right now, you see their bullpen arms are just unbelievable. And you see, I think 14 of the almost half their players that are on that roster are from trades. So, I mean, I think you have to put it in the hands of guys like Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton and those guys of how to run that club, that they got to figure out a way to really get that, you know, develop guys, draft. You can't miss on the draft. You can't miss on the early rounds of the draft. You have to find a way to develop guys so that you can ultimately maybe trade those pieces at some point to get the pieces that you need. But there's a way to do it, and I think they have the right people in charge right now. And, you know, hopefully the Pirates get going because, you know, that city, you know, we go back to that 2013 wildcard game, man. I think that was louder than any Steeler game I've been to. And I this city gets craving for the Buccos to be good, and it's just frustrating year in and year out when they haven't been. So hopefully you know, hopefully they can figure it out. But Ben Cherington, Derek Shelton, I know for me are the right people in those spots.
Case, before I let you go, I always ask you about Casey's Clubhouse, the wonderful work you do with that in the South Hills. I know COVID did put any kind of limitations on you this year. Now can people always get involved, can't they?
Yeah, Cookie. Yeah, really quick. Yeah, you know, obviously the Miracle League of the South Hills, it hurt our seasons. We had to cancel the spring and the fall season. But we're still pushing forward. We're trying to figure out, kind of navigate COVID the way everyone else is, and that's good. And you know, we were in the midst of fundraising for it. We're building this new concession stand, which we're going to use as a job training facility for our kids. So we are looking for donations, which is always good. So if you went to MiracleLeagueSouthHills.org, you know, if you ever want to help us out and donate, we would love that. And we're looking forward to getting our kids back on the field at some point here. Probably in the spring season, and we'll navigate that, you know, to the best that we can. But we serve over 350 kids, and all the Miracle Leagues that we have, even Mike Sherry's out there in Cranberry, and all the places around Pittsburgh and Murraysville and Wheeling, they're just wonderful programs.
Case, always enjoy it, man. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs. Who do you like? Do you like Tampa? Do you like the Dodgers?
Man, I like the Dodgers a lot. Tampa showed last night, though, they're not going anywhere. They're really good, so. I like that. I think the Dodgers are tough, top to bottom. They're built for the long haul. But man, you know, Neander and Kevin Cash and those guys out in Tampa put together a pretty nice club. So it's going to be a slugfest. It could be seven games. I think the Dodgers find a way to win it, though.
Sean Casey, it's always a joy, man. You stay well, okay? Well, I look forward to talking to you real soon, and thank you for your time.
All right, Cookie, you're the best, my man, and good luck out there solo for a couple days, and I'll see you soon, brother.